Good morning. Just to quickly recap what we learned last week before we continue on. Last week we discussed the concept that a guarantor very often also has an issue of ribis. As we learned, it depends on the type of guarantee. In Arif Stam, if the Goyish lender first has to go after the Jewish borrower, could try to do whatever he could to collect the money, and only in the event of a default, when the borrower doesn't have the funds, only then can he go after the guarantor. That case is fine. There's no problem of ribis. However, in the more common case today, where the bank has the right, the guarantor, they're jointly and severally liable, where the bank, if they want to, can go right after the guarantor, that is called an Arif Kavlan in halacha. And that the Kavlan himself has a problem of ribis. Now, a similar concept or a similar machlokes applies about paying a guarantor. If a person is borrowing money, even if it's interest free, he needs a guarantor, and the guarantor says, "I'm not willing to do it unless I get paid." So, if it's an arif stam, if this guarantor is just his liability is secondary, it's only if the first person defaults, then you can go after the guarantor. In those cases, the place gemar mekel, and there's no problem paying the guarantor to provide the guarantee. However, if he's an arif kablin, if the lender can go after either person, here it's a machlokes. There are many place gemar that are mekel and say you're allowed to pay even an arif kablin. However, the chavis das and the bris yehuda are both machmer. It's not so simple in halacha. Now, the other issue that we discussed last week is when a person borrows money and the lender incurs expenses because of the loan. So as we pointed out, it really depends on the type of expense. Paying for the document, paying for the mortgage, paying for the legal fees is something which is the borrower's obligation. And there's certainly no problem with ribis to pay for the legal fees, the direct legal fees for the loan. If he's reimbursing the lender for other expenses that he has a secretary, he has people who are working for him, and you're reimbursing them, the lender directly, the direct cost for the loan, so they are the place gemar mekel as well. However, if the lender is charging a fee for his time, essentially what he's doing is he's forcing the borrower to hire him for however much time he needs to spend on the loan. There already, according to most poskim, it is a problem, and that's something that has to be avoided. So you can only pass along direct expenses. And the last group of halachas that we discussed last week was if you have a partnership, and one partner borrows money and is paying interest, and he's borrowing on behalf of the partnership. So over here, we have a problem, because one partner is borrowing from the guy, he's paying the interest. Essentially, when he invested in the business, and now the business, both parties are paying the interest, here we have a problem. Now, although the partner that's borrowed the money is not making a profit, he's only passing along his interest expense to his shutiv, to the business, still it doesn't make a difference, since the bottom line is he's charging for the money, and therefore, even though it's not going into his pocket, he's just paying it out for his interest expense, we do have a problem. Now, we learned there was a Taz. The Taz is Makel in a specific case. He says that if a silent partner, if an investor borrows money beribis and puts it in the partnership, that's certainly a problem. They certainly need a heteriska. However, if an active partner borrows money and pays interest, there the Taz says that he can pass along the interest expense to the business. You would not need a heteriska. There is a tremendous machlokes what exactly the Taz is talking about. Whether it means whether the other partner was responsible for the loan, there are three different shitos. The bottom line is it's kedai to write a heteriska because you'll very very likely be tripped up, at least according to some or all of the shitos. So to avoid any questions, whenever you're borrowing money, whenever one partner is taking out his line of credit, he's borrowing money personally, you should always write a heteriska. Now, today we're going to discuss what happens when things go wrong. Person went ahead, he borrowed money, he paid interest, and after the fact, they wake up, they realize that we did the Aveira, we did the Isser. What has to be done? Now, we mentioned a number of times that there's a difference between Ribis Doiraisa and Ribis Dorabanan. Ribis Doiraisa, the halacha is Yoitza B'dayanim. If a person lend money, he charged interest, ribos d'oraisa, the halacha is the lender has a chiyuv to go back and return the money. If he doesn't return the interest that he paid, Bezdin can force him to return it. That's by ribos d'oraisa. If you're dealing with ribos d'rabbanon, there the halacha is it is not yotze b'dayanim. Bezdin cannot force him to return it. However, there is a chiyuv also to de shemayim. The right thing for him to do is to pay it back. Ribis mucheres or ribis mukdemes, if you give a present after the loan is paid, that is even a lower level. There the place can say, once it's done, it's done. It's only also the lechatchila. Once you've paid, there's no chiyuv, either b'day adam, b'day shemayim, to return the money. So these guidelines seem very, very straightforward. We have, ribos d'oraisa has to be returned, bezdin will force. Ribos d'rabbanan, there's only chiyuv l'atzis d'yeshamayim. Ribos mucheres, there's no chiyuv whatsoever. Now, the one thing I think that everyone has picked up over the past few months is that in Hilchos Ribos, nothing is quite as clean and as straightforward as it first appears. And as we're going to see, in reality, in real-life scenarios, the halacha in many cases is going to be very different. The first exception is that what do you do if you have a person, he's a banker. His entire career, he's been lending people money, he's been charging interest. And now he goes to a shir, he realizes, oyvei, what did I do? I've been over the issa ribis my entire life. Now if he wants to do tshuva, it's going to be rather expensive. He's going to have to go back and return all the interest that he ever collected. So halacha over here is, there's a special din d'rabbanon that although me'ikar hadin, he owes it back. Midrabbanon Chazal said that a malva beribis that's bo lachzer, if he wants to go ahead and do tshuva, Chazal said the borrowers should not accept repayment. Because if they would, it would be extremely difficult for a malva beribis to do tshuva. In order to make it easier, in order to encourage people to do tshuva, the halacha is that if he comes on his own to do tshuva, you should not accept the money, you should be meichel. So if he's ready, if the Chazal are telling you not to give it back, then obviously they're not telling you be over the Yisr and not become Tchias HaMeisim. It's not doing him a toiva. So we'll get to it. The Rishonim prove from this Gemara that vice dois, if the borrower is meichel and says keep it, vice dois, that's enough, the person is yotze. Okay, good. We'll get to that. Now, over here, there are a few important qualifications. The first is that this is only when the banker on his own does tshuva. He realizes, I did an isser. I'm ready to. He goes through his Rolodex, calls all of the people who borrowed from him. I'm ready to do tshuva. I want to return the money. What should I write the check out to? So over here, since he's coming to do tshuva, Chazal want to make it easier for him. The Chazal said you shouldn't accept it. However, if he's not the one it's not his initiative. If the borrower holds him in front of a bezdin, and the bezdin says, you're over in a ribis, it's yotze b'dayanim, there the halach is nothing doing. There bezdin will be koyf him and force him to pay back every penny that he took b'ribis. The second qualification is that this applies only when someone is a banker. He's a malva b'ribis. That's what he does for a living. So since this is his parnasa, this is his career, it's going to be hard for him to do tshuva, the halacha is Chazal wanted to make it easier, they said you shouldn't accept it. However, if you have a day job, during the day you're a programmer, you're an accountant, whatever it is, on the side you have a couple extra dollars, so you do a couple of hard money loans. So in such a case, this takana does not apply. It's only for a career malva beribis. But if it's just an occasional thing on the side, there we go with ikar halacha, and the halacha is that ribos ktsutza is yotze b'dayanim. Now, last halacha, the shach paskins, is that this is all me'ikar hadin. The borrower, when the lender comes and says, I'm ready to pay you back, the borrower should say, I don't want to accept it. However, zok the shach, to really be lotzei sidei shemayim, if the lender, if he really wants to do a tshuva shalema, he should still insist and say, afal pikein. And once he does that, the borrower has can certainly take the money. So although Chazal said the borrower should be Meichel, because it is not, because it's a sort of a coerced Mechila, it's enough, you'll become B'tchias HaMeisim, but for a Tshuva Gemura, you should not take advantage of this halacha, and if they're able to at least, you should insist on paying Afapikin Lotzeis in Deshamayim. Now this is all a case where you have a banker. That was his whole career. Chazal made a special takana to make it easier to do tshuva. What about a case where you're not a banker? A person is malva beribis. He goes ahead, it's very common, you lend someone the credit card, they're making the minimum payments, you thought it was fine. And one day you wake up and you realize we have a ribis problem on our hands. Can the borrower be moichel the ribis? So this is an interesting machlokes rishonim. In general, what's the halacha? If someone steals from you, can the nigzal be moichel you? Of course. To davar shem amamad. If he wants to be moichel, let him be moichel. So by ribis too. If the borrower wants to say, I'm moichel, just keep it, it's no problem, I don't want the money. So we would think that it's not a problem, the chila should work. The problem is that every ribis is mechila. The borrower wants to borrow the money. He wants to pay the interest. I mean, obviously he'd rather an interest-free loan, but if that's not available, he wants to pay the interest because he needs the money. So some rishonim say that you see mechila doesn't work on ribis. And therefore, before, after, mechila will never work. If someone charges interest, you have to pay it back. Even if the borrower says, keep it on moichel, some rishonim say, nothing doing. The isser ribis applies, you cannot be moichel it, it's really, the isser is still there. Malacho, the Rambam, we hold and we pass him like the Rambam, the Rambam says that it depends on the type of mechila. If you've already borrowed the money, you've paid back the interest, you've paid back the loan, and now 10 years later you realize there's a problem, the lender wants to pay you back, so there the Rambam says you can be moichel. Just like if someone steals from you, you can be moichel. If someone took ribis, you can be moichel as well. However, that's only once the loan is repaid. The loan was paid, the ribis was paid, you can be moichel then. However, before the fact, if you still owe the money and you tell the lender, here, I want to pay the interest of me, moichel, I'm giving it to you, b'matano, there the Rambam passes is nothing doing. Every ribis is really, you're being moichel, you're giving me matana. That's awesome. So before the fact, while you still owe the keren, while the loan is still outstanding, you cannot be moichel. After the loan has already been repaid, the other Rambam Paskins Michila will help like everything else, and it won't be a problem. Once he already put it in his pocket, so he ready to his chiyav hashava. If now the person, now the loiva wants to give a present to the malva, I can't imagine there's an isser for a loiva to give the present afterwards. You do have to make sure it's not ribis mucheres, but you know, we'll get to that a little bit later. Now this sounds nice, very very simple and straightforward. While the loan is outstanding, you cannot be moichel. Once it's been repaid, you could be moichel. Where things get a little tricky is what happens in the typical case today. You use someone's credit card, or someone gives you a mortgage. Now every month, you make a payment. You're paying some interest, and you're paying some principal. You make a few payments, and then you realize there was a problem. We have a ribis problem. Now going forward, obviously you can't make interest payments going forward. The question is, can you be moichel the ribis that you've paid until now? So on one hand, you already paid the interest. The interest that you already paid, l'chor, you have the right to be moichel. On the other hand, the loan itself is still outstanding. It's not after the fact where the deal is done. You still have part of the principal outstanding. So how do we deal with these situations? So over here, there's an Igros Moshe, which has a tremendous chiddush, which we mentioned before. Igros Moshe has a chiddush that when a person pays interest during... The halacha is that regardless of what they make up, regardless of what they call it, until you've paid up the principal, he says, everything automatically is called principal. Even though when you make a payment for your credit card or your mortgage, the first month, according to the bank, it almost all of it goes for interest. Zakti Igros Moshe, in halacha, it doesn't work like that. In halacha, will automatically credit all the payments towards the keren. Now, on one hand, that's a tremendous kula. Because it means that if you lend someone money and he makes interest payments, the halacha is you were never over the iser. Because in halacha, we ignore the fact you called it interest. We consider it principal. And Baruch Hashem, you never paid a dime of interest. So as far as the Isser, Rav Moshe is a tremendous kul. Mitzad the moment is it comes out of Bechumra. Because if every month when you made the payment, we call that interest, and that's taka ribbis. So once it was paid, it was paid. The Isser was done, you have to do tshuva. But if you want to be Moshe, you could be Moshe. However, according to Igros Moshe, it's going to come out now like that. According to Igros Moshe, the payments, regardless of what we call it, until you paid back all the principal, we're going to call everything automatically a principal payment. And therefore, there's nothing to be Moshe. And if you have to credit all that towards the Karen, and the lender is going to end up eating the difference, because you only owe him, the borrower is going to owe him much less, because everything gets taken off the top. He's going to owe the bank or his credit card the full amount, because they're going to look at it as interest payments, so he will have a hefset of mum. Now this Igros Moshe is a tremendous chiddush. If you look at it, Igros Moshe is really coming to argue on Rav Kiveger. Kiveger has a suffix, it's in Pesachei Tshuvim, Kuf Samach Aleph brings it down. The terrorist Tzvi also goes with the Kiveger suffix. There's a Divrei Mishpat and Chayish Mishpat Tzimin Test that also argues. So the Igros Moshe is a tremendous chiddush. It's not clear. It seems that many places can disagree with it. However, because you're dealing with a Shiloh V'doi Raisa, because, and there's also, there's an Avnei Nezer that has a different lomdus, but the same result, it'll come out that a person, because it's a Savik V'doi Raisa, should be Machmir, and if he's made interest payments, and now they want to be Moichel, it should not be done. Now the truth is, even if you're going to argue on Rav Moshe, even if you're going to say that the interest is called interest, it's still going to be a problem to be Moichel in most cases. Because what happened? You borrowed money. You made $5,000 of interest payments. You now realize there's a problem. So you want to be Moichel the payments. So let's, for a moment, assume not like Rav Moshe, and let's assume that was real interest, it was paid, I can be Moichel. The problem is, why are you being Moichel $5,000 that the lender owes you? When is the last time you gave the lender a $5,000 present? The answer is, why are you being Moichel him? Because he was such a nice person, he lent you money. So if you're being Moichel him, if you're giving him a present because he lent you the money, although it may not be Ribbis Ktsutza, now it's Avak Ribbis. You're giving the lender a present because of the loan. So even if we get around the Avak Ribbis, the Ribbis Daraisa problem, it'll still be Avak Ribbis in most cases, and therefore the Mechila itself will be problematic. What? Good, but right now, he owes me $5,000 because there's a halva berib, because he collected interest. I have the right to collect that. When I tell him I'm being moichel you, I'm essentially giving you a present. Since the loan is still outstanding, and there's no other pshat why I'm giving you a $5,000 present, this will regardless be avak ribis, and therefore either way you're going to have a problem. The only difference whether you follow this igros moishe or not is whether it's going to be a daraisa or a darabon. Well, again, there you're being moichel not because as a scharam tonas mois. There you're being moichel after the fact because Chazal said make it easier for him to do tshuva. So you're right. Had he not done the aveira in the first place, there'd be nothing to be moichel. But the reason why you're being moichel is not as a chesed, as a karas atoiv, as a payment for the loan. The reason why you're being moichel is Chazal said make it easier for him to do tshuva. In this case, he owes you the money. There's no takana. There's no reason not to take it back. The only reason why you're being moichel is because he was kind enough to give you a loan. So that's Avak Ribbis. The person that pays the interest, his isser is not ben adam chaveira. His isser isn't. You didn't do an avlo to the lender by giving him the extra money. It might be lifnei iver, but it's not an avlo in dine mamonos. It's ben adam lamakon. So you'll have to do tshuva like any other avera. But accepting the money doesn't make it easier. It's not a milo in your tshuva for the fact that you paid interest. So now let's deal with actually a ma'isa shehoya that happened about a year or two ago. A group of Jewish investors bought a package of loans from a hedge fund. The deal was approximately $50 million. They went ahead. They bought the package. They negotiated with the debtors. They worked out some payment plans. And a few months into the deal, what? A bank. It's not that a bank lent people money. There were a bunch of borrowers. They sold off the loans. You know, it's not. And this group of investors bought the loans. A few months into after they bought the loans, what they discovered is that one of the borrowers, was actually a $14 million piece of this deal, was Jewish. So what they now realized was that they have been collecting interest from these Jewish borrowers for the past few months. So what do you do? So the first thing they did, obviously, was they went to Bez and they started fighting. The borrower said, listen, we borrowed money from a guy. You went ahead, you bought the loan. Now we have a ribbis problem. So we want you to pay back all of the interest we've paid over the past few months because we're Jewish, you're Jewish, you owe the money back to us. Yes, it was a corporation. There was no personal guarantee. The people who bought the loan said, listen, you are incorporated. There's no personal guarantee on this loan. Corporations, according to the Igros Moshe, have no problem with ribbis. We hold like the Igros Moshe. And therefore, we have every right to force you to pay this money. And certainly, we're not going to give you back that other money. The borrowers said, no, we're not selling like the Igros Moshe, and we don't want to pay anymore. So what do you do? Now, obviously, your Bezin's going to have to deal with whether they do hold a remotion, whether they don't hold a remotion, whether you can force someone to make a payment which he's saying is usur. Now, obviously, the first question they're going to have to ask the borrower is, were you ever samech on the Igros Moshe in other cases? Because if normally they're being samech and now they're just becoming frum in this case, that's a different story. But assuming that this argument was in good faith, they are never rely on this. So it's difficult to force someone to make a payment which he holds as usur. Now, just for the sake of this year, let's follow the shitas which many seem to hold, that even if you're chaluk on the Igros Moshe, al kopanim it's only an issur d'rabbanan. It's a d'rabbanan. Right, exactly. Now, assuming it's a d'rabbanan, does the borrower have the right to tell the lender, I want a refund for the past few months of interest that we've paid? No, because as we just learned before, Ribis doi raisa is yotze b'dayonim. You can force them to pay it back. Ribis d'rabbanon is not yotze b'dayonim. Bezdin can't force you to pay it back. But there is a chiyav lotze sidei shemayim. Even though Bezdin can't force them, they have a chiyav lotze sidei shemayim. Now in this case, the lender said, in shemayim, the Igros Moshe will take care of me. So don't worry about shemayim. Elamai Bezdin have to deal with it. Bezdin doesn't hold the Igros Moshe, but good. But d'rabbanon, you can't be mighty moment for me. But things are not quite so simple. The Imre Bina has a tremendous chiddush. Imre Bina says like this. When a person is ma'avah b'ribis, or a person borrows money, he pays the interest. So the halacha is, if it's ribis d'rabbanon, it's not yotze b'dayanim. Zag the Imre Bina, that case is talking about a case. Two rishonim sit down. They sit at the table, they say, listen, we don't care about hilchos ribis. We don't care, it's d'rabbanon. I need the money, I'm ready to pay the interest. Okay, they make such a deal, they're rishonim. Once the interest is paid, the halacha is, it's not yotze b'dayanim. Zag the Imre Bina, what would be if a person borrows money and he doesn't realize there's an issur at all? He borrows money from a bank, from a hedge fund. As far as he knows, he's dealing with a guy. Now he finds out that it is really a yid on the other side of the table. Zagdan Rabino here, forget about Hilchus Ribbis, Yotze B'dayanim. Here we go back to Hilchus Mekach Tois. I only agreed to pay this money because I thought I was paying it to a guy. I only agreed to pay the money because I thought it was Beheter. Now that I find out that these payments were usur, I died to the hachi, I never gave it. And therefore I can demand the money back, not because it's ribis, which is yotze b'dayanim. It's not. I can demand the money back because the whole thing was betos.
The whole loan wasn't good.
We'll get to that in a minute. So Zog the Imre Bina, if when they make the payment, they don't realize it was be'isr, and now they find out it was be'isr, even if it's only an isr d'rabbanon, you have the right to demand the money back. Now, Machne Ephraim argues, Machne Ephraim says it's not convinced that an issur d'rabbanon is enough to make a mekach tois. We'll get back to it a little bit later. But Machne Ephraim says he's not so sure that you can do that. It doesn't know if he creates a mekach tois. He's really mesopic. It depends on the case. Could be if he tainas it, he'll be neman. But Kopanim, according to Imre Bina, this rule that we said before, that avak ribis is not yotze b'dayanim, is really not going to apply in most cases. it's going to apply only if they know they're doing the Isser, and Af al pi kein, they went ahead and did the Isser. But if they're a shoygig, if they don't know about the Isser, according to the Imrei Bina, this rule will fall away, and you will always be able to demand a refund. Now let's change the case slightly. Let's say, so what happened afterwards? So the what the parties realized is that the money that was paid to the hedge fund already, the money of the past few months, they're not going to get back. The frat, the lender can say, Kimli like a gross Moshe, that money's gone. But the borrower said, we're serving notice right now. Mikanu lahaba, we're not making any interest payments. We're Jewish, we can't pay interest. So it says in the terms of the loan, there is a balloon, it's interest only for the next 30 years. There's a balloon payment due then. We'll see you then. The lender, unsurprisingly, said nothing doing. You have the right to hold on to the money as long as you're paying interest. The moment you stop paying the interest, we're going to call the loan. So what's the halach? So over here, there's a tremendous machlokes, but what comes out is it'll depend. There are a few different svaras, and we'll have to go through case by case what happened. In a simple case, where a person lends someone money thinking that he's dealing with a guy, and then he finds out he's dealing with a yid. So in that case, l'chayr, according to everyone, once we find out there's a yid involved, the whole thing is a toys. It's a toys. I didn't realize there's a yid involved, I didn't realize it was ribbis, and l'chayr, the whole deal is off, you can call the loan. Similarly, if you want to give a mashal, a person buys a sheitel. He finds out afterwards that the sheitel was avodah zara. L'chayr, he has a tiny of nekach toys. I thought this was a heter. Now I find out this is a piece of avodah zara, it's aser bahana. So that in that case, l'chayr, everyone should agree it's a nekach toys. I have the right to be chayzer, we undo the deal, and everyone goes home. So in the same thing by ribbis, if you thought you're dealing with a guy, and now you find out it's a yid, so you can undo the deal, you can call the loan, and everyone moves on. What happens in a case where a person buys a sheitel, and he knows it's avodah zara? What they don't know is that avodah zara is aser bahana. So in that case, you knew what you're buying. You didn't know the halacha ramifications of what you're doing. Is that grounds to undo the deal or not? So the Beis Shlomo in Yerideism and Kuv Tzadivav says, it's Tzolim Lachogaz Rambam and Raivit. The Rambam paskins in Yisura Mizbeach that if a person is Magdish a Baal Mum, person says he has an animal, he says, I'm being Magdish this for a carbon oilah, and it's a Baal Mum. The halacha is, it's also to be Magdish a Baal Mum. So the Rambam says, if it's b'shoigig, how is a kadosh vein aloikim? The hegdish is a good hegdish, but you don't get malchus. Zuck the raivit, it's hegdish. What are you talking about? The person did it b'shoigig. He thought you're allowed to be magdish b'al mum. Had he known that it was aser, he would have never been magdish. Therefore, zuck the raivit, hegdish b'toyis, it's chulin. The hegdish doesn't work. Kesem Mishnah says, what's trying the Rambam? He says, the Rambam learns, if Hegdish B'toyis means you think you're being Magdish this animal, you're Magdish the wrong animal, the wrong guf. But if you know exactly what you're doing, you know this has a mum, you know you're being Magdish it, you just don't know the halacha, Ayim Mutri says it's a shoyge, it's not a toss. And therefore the Kesem Mishnah learns in the Rambam that if you know what you're buying, you know what you're being Magdish, you just don't know the halacha, that does not create a mekach toss. So based on that, the Beis Shlomo and the Minchas Pitim all say that if you're doing a deal, so if you don't know the person's Jewish, you don't know there's bechlal a loan to a yid, so that is a toyis that you can be chayzer. But if you know that he's Jewish, you just don't know the halacha, it's Omer Mutter, there the Minchas Pitim says, we'll be telling this Machlokes Rambam and Raivid. According to the Raivid, you can back out, you can call the loan, you can undo the deal. According to the Rambam, the deal is still a good deal, and you should be stuck. Now the halacha, the Marsham says that Roiv Poiskim, he has deed from a number of Rishonim, but he says Roiv Poiskim follow the Raivid. It is considered a Mekach Tois. The truth is, even the Minchas Pitim that is not Machri, that is Choshesh for the Rambam, in this case, for technical reasons, would be Moide as well. And therefore, in such a case, L'chayre, if it's Omer Mutzer, if you didn't realize that it was Aser, and you only realized afterwards, you should have the right to call the loan. The whole thing is a Mekach Tois.
They just didn't know that there's a yid involved.
No. In a case where you lend money to a yid, you just don't realize there's an yeser. So in that case, again, it should be telling the machlokes Rambam and Ravid. However, Rav Paiskim seem to hold like the Ravid. For technical reasons, it could be everyone would agree in such a case. So if you lend the money, you know he's a Yid, but you don't realize the Yisr, you'd have the right to call the loan. Now the problem is, that's very nice if you lend someone money. You're the bank. And you don't realize it's an Yisr. You wake up today, so halacha is, you can call the loan. In our case, what happened? Who lent the money? The hedge fund lent the money. The Goyim. It wasn't the Toyos. They have no problem lending money to Yidden and charging them interest. The problem only came up later, when these Jewish investors bought the loan from the guy. So you can't say the whole loan was a Toyos. The loan was between a guy and a Yid. It was perfectly fine. It's only now that we created a problem. So this whole question of whether it's a Mecha Toyos, because had they known about the Yisr, he wouldn't have lent the money, is not relevant. Because they're not... When you borrow money, you're borrowing money. The documents say whoever buys the loan, you're responsible to. So it's not a mekach tois. Bishleima, when one yid lends another with interest, and then he realizes it's an yisr, he can say, had I known the yisr, I wouldn't have done the deal. Pay me back today. The deal is off. But in this case, the bank lent the money. There's no tois. Now the buyers created the problem by buying it. So this whole argument of mekach toyos doesn't apply, since at the time of the loan there was no toyos. The problem, the time of the loan, it was between a goy and a yid. Yeah, it is. It still is a loan. They're buying the whole loan. They're buying the debt, and the debt is assignable. So you'll have a problem. You want to deal with the guy? You want to give it back to the guy? Wonderful, but that's not what's happening. They don't want to give it back to the guy. They want to collect the money from the yid. So the chayyim, we're back to a problem. We don't have the mekach toyos. So what do you do with it? See, what do you do in this case? So over here, there's another argument. It's true, we can't create a mekach toyos, and we can't say the whole deal was a mistake. Because when the person borrowed money from the bank, from the guy, there's no toyos, there's no mistake, there's no tanai. The deal is a deal. But now we have another problem. Because what was the deal with the guy? The deal with the guy was, I'm borrowing the money for 30 years. I'll pay interest. As long as I pay interest, I can keep the money for 30 years. What happens if I default, if I stop paying the interest? Can I keep the money? Absolutely not. Zok the Chavis Das in the Mishnah Melech, forget about whether the original deal was a toyos. If right now you're not paying interest, then right now you have no right to keep the money. Every time there's a Havah B'Ribbis, it's like you're renting the money. As long as you make the rental payments, you can hold out, you can keep the money. The moment you stop making those payments, whether you stop because you run out of money, you stop because you're bankrupt, or whether you stop because it's just a ribbis, the bottom line is you're not making payments. If you're not making payments, I can tell you, I want to call the loan, you have to pay me back the entire amount. And the Chavis Das, the Mishnah Melech, the Machan Ephraim all say, this is the halacha, that if you have a halvah b'ribbis, even if they knew b'shas ma'isa that it's aser, the moment the borrower stops making payments, the lender can say, okay, I can't charge you interest, but pay me back the entire principal right away. Perhaps. Now the Divrei Chaim and the Chalkos Yoyev and the Beis Yitzchok all take issue with this Chavis Das. Because they say like this, if I borrow money, or let's say I rent a house, so the deal is, I'm renting it for a year, as long as I pay my monthly rent, you can't evict me. If I stop making payments, you can throw me out of the house. Because that's the deal. I can only live in the house as long as I make the payments. That's all true if the tenant stops making payments. He's breaching the agreement. He breached the agreement, you can throw him out of the house. What happens if the tenant still starts making his payments, but the landlord closes his bank account, disappears for a few months, and there's no way to pay him? Can he then pop up and say, listen, you didn't pay rent for 2 months, so I'm throwing you out, the deal's off? No, the tenant can say, Hoka Imna, I'm ready, I'm trying to put the money in the bank, you closed your account, you disappear, I have no way to pay you, but I'm ready to do my part. If you're not here to accept the money, that's not, I didn't breach the contract, it's your fault. Zok the Divrei Chaim, and Zok and the Yitzchak, and a number of Paiskim. What's happening over here? There's a Halva B'Ribbis. So the borrower can say, listen, I borrowed it for 30 years, and as long as I pay interest, you have no right to call the loan. I'm ready to keep on making payments. Now, I know You're a frum yid. You're not ready to accept the payments. Okay. That's your problem. Don't tell me I breached the agreement you can call the loan. It's your problem that you can't collect the interest. And therefore, Devar Chaim says, Nechites, you can call the loan. And Adaraba, the borrower can keep the money for the 30 years. And at the end, just pay the principal. Oh, so in this case, the argument's not going to work. Because in this case, the lender is very happy to take the payments. He holds its mutter, right. But in a case where it's usur on both of them, the Rebbe Chaim argues and says that the borrower can say, play hardball. I'm ready to make the payments. So if you're ready to accept it, come and I'll pay you back. Now, this is a whole machlokes. The Yeshuas Yaakov has a very interesting pshara. He says it depends whether you're dealing with Ribbis d'Oraisa or Ribbis d'Rabbanan. Why? Because Ribbis d'Oraisa, who's over the usur? The borrower, the lender, the orev, the edinus, everyone involved is over the usur. So the borrower can say, I'm ready to pay the interest. What do you mean he's ready to pay? There's an issue d'Oraisa, he can't pay. So therefore, Zog Yeshua is Yaakov, in a case of Ribbis d'Oraisa, you can call the loan right away. However, by Ribbis d'Rabbanon, who's the issur on? This is only on the lender. Now it's true the borrower has lifnei iver, but even lifnei iver is just because the lender has a problem taking it. So in that case, Zog Yeshua is Yaakov, by Ribbis d'Rabbanon, who's causing who's causing the breach? Who's preventing the borrower from making the payment? The lender. Since it's the lender's fault, Zakhti Yeshua's Yaakov, in such a case, you would not be able to call the loan. So again, if the original loan was done betoyus, no one realized there was an Isser, so then we have the other Svara, the Mrebina and the other Svara, that you can claim Mekartoyus on the whole deal and you can undo the deal. But when the deal was not done betoyus, they knew that it was Asser, or in a case that we're dealing with now, where it was done beheter and things changed afterwards, there the Yeshua's Yaakov says that by Ribbis d'Rabbanon, by Ribbis d'Oraisa, you can call the loan, you can force him to pay up right away. By Ribbis d'Rabbanon, you would not be able to. Now in this case also, in the case of, back to the hedge fund case, if we're going to go with the Shita, is that even that in the case of the Gros Moshe, even if you're Chaylik, it's only Nisa d'Rabbanon, then the borrower would have a very good argument. The borrower would be saying that it's a Nisa Ribbis d'Rabbanon, therefore, you're the one, the lender is the one that's creating the problem that we can't pay the ribbis. And therefore, according to the Yeshua's Yaakov, they'll be able to hold on to the money for the next 30 years and not pay any interest in between. Now, there is an interesting, you know, Halacha L'maisa, the Darkei Tshuva brings down a B'Shem Namar B'Torah, an interesting svara. And what he says is as follows. He says, this whole shmuz is only true when they're fighting. They should get the money back right away. They shouldn't get the money back right away. However, if the lender says, you know what? You can keep the money. But going forward, let's write a heter iska. There, the Ma'ar B'Torah says that he definitely had l'kulei alma. He has the right to force. And the borrower says, I don't want to write a heter iska. I just want to hold on to your money and not to pay you. He says, that much we can't be soivel. That you can't force him to do. So in this case, where as long as the lender is willing to sign a heter iska, he says, at the end of the day, you'll be able to force the borrower to do that. If the borrower doesn't want to do that, then you'd be able to force him to repay the entire principal right away. Now, the truth is, in that case, there was actually another svara, and that is, why was the hedge fund selling the loan in the first place? The reason why they were selling is because the borrowers had defaulted. Now, once they had defaulted already, really legally, the lenders had the right to foreclose immediately. So it's true they agreed to waive that default as long as they worked out a payment plan. But the moment the payment plan falls away, they revert back to the right that the guy had, that since there was a default on the original agreement, the entire loan was due, and therefore in that case, the lender can certainly play hardball and either force the borrowers to sign a heter iska or to repay the principal right away. Well, okay, what was really happening over here is that everyone knew, the borrower and the lender, everyone knew there was going to be a settlement. This whole fight, and you know, I don't know if it went to a dentist at the end or it didn't, was just to figure out where that settlement is going to be. Who has the upper hand? But it was all negotiating. It was all, everyone knew that there was going to be a settlement. They were going to buy out the loan, and it was just a question of at what price. No.
If you're a lender situation, could you do a haram and then through a
So let me read to you a Gemara. Amar Rava, Lamali the cause of Rachmana Yitzias Mitzrayim beRibus Yitzias Mitzrayim beAbi Tzitzis Yitzias Mitzrayim beMeshkalos. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hu Shevchanti beMitzrayim beTipus Shabachar leTipus Sheinu Shabachar. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, just like by Mitzrayim and by Makas Bechoros. So we know separating the Bechor of the Mitzrayim from the Bechor of Yisrael was not such a simple matter. There were Mitzrayim who were living in the Yisraelim's house, there were Yisrael, the Yisrael that was in a Mitzri's house. Even among the Mitzrayim, Rashi says that the Mitzrayim were Shtufei Zima. There you had houses that had many different Bechorim, Bechor Me'av, Bechor Me'em. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, Bechvoidu Yiva'atzmai, and was Mavchin, Bein Tipo Bechor, Tipo Sheinu Shal Bechor. So Zog the Gemara, Anihu Sha'asid Lipara Misha Toilam Oysav Benachri. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I to someone who is toilo noisa the akri, umava loisam li yisro beribis. So the Gemara is giving as an example that you see that the reason why by we find the connection between Yitzias Mitzrayim and ribis is that Yitzias Mitzrayim showed us an example of to what extreme, how, what the length that Kadosh Baruch Hu went to be mavcha between each tipa b'chor l'sheinu b'chor Mitzrayim. So connected that in Hilchos Ribbis, we have to be just as Zohar. And I think one thing that everyone is walking away from in the past 18 Shiurim in Hilchos Ribbis is that to get everything straight, you're being mavchim, being tipo letipo. There are a lot of gedorim, there are a lot of nuances, and it is very difficult to be Zohar and to keep in mind exactly what's Aser, what's Motor, Daraisa, Darabon, and it takes a tremendous level of Havchana. So perhaps that's what this Gemara is telling us, that we learn from Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to such lengths, so halachas kama v'kama, that we, in our business dealings, in our shaka v'tayu, also have to have the same level of zahiros, so the same level of caution, to make sure what's aser and what's mutter. I'd like to wish everyone a chag kosher v'sameach. After Pesach, Emir Tzah Hashem, we're going to move on to Chosh and Mishpat. We do have to get back to Halachas of the Hatariska, but I think everyone deserves a break. We'll get back to it, Mestama, around Shavuos time.